Hi, this is Norm Coombs, and welcome to another one of our It's About People, Not Technology podcasts. And today I'm talking with Dr. Edith Miller from East Stroudsburg University in Pennsylvania. And she is, among other things, the founder of the Delta Alpha Pi Honor Society. Good morning, Edith.
Hello, how are you today?
Well, I'm pretty good. It's a mouthful trying to say Delta Alpha Pi.
Yes, and it so, is.
And so what is it?
Okay, Delta Alpha Pi is, the, as far as we know, the first and only honor society in the country designed specifically to recognize the academic accomplishments of college and university students with disabilities.
Yeah, that's good. Sounds really nice. And when did you start it?
We founded it at East Stroudsburg University in 2004. So it's a relatively young organization.
Okay, well, we'll come back and talk about that in a minute. I'd like to know a little bit more about you. You're a professor of education.
I'm a professor and director of disability services at East Stroudsburg University. The Office of Disability Services is housed within the College of Education, yes.
Okay. What got you interested in disabilities?
Oh, I started, my first degree was in English, and I was teaching high school English and directing drama quite a number of years ago. And it always seemed that the students that nobody else wanted to work with were the ones that I enjoyed the most. And then after a hiatus, when my daughter was little, I began substitute teaching and found my way into special education and then got certified in that. Went on for a master's in reading and then a doctorate in the psychology of reading. So all of those kinds of things just really lent themselves to working with students with disabilities, particularly learning disabilities that affect reading.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I think everybody gets into this field from a different path. Some,
yes, I think so too.
Some have a disability or a child or relative with a disability, and others just follow from one job opening to another and follow their heart and end up here anyhow.
Yes, I think that's true.
So what motivated you, or where did you get the idea of starting Delta Alpha Pi?
I have a long commute. And it was one of those ideas in my little ADHD brain that I was leaping around one morning on my drive here, and I thought, you know, there are a lot of honor societies out there that are population-specific rather than discipline-specific. They're for students who are African-American or students who are non-traditional in age or based on gender. And so I did a search and found nothing that was based on disability, and I really thought it was about time that our students received recognition for their accomplishments, too. And I really thought it would help break down those barriers and myths that students with disabilities can't be successful. I knew that our students were graduating at rates equal to or higher than the general population, and also we had a higher percentage of students on the dean's list each semester than the general population. So I thought it was time that those students received the recognition they deserved.
Well, those are really exciting statistics you have there. That's impressive. When I was an undergraduate, I got in an honor society. It was for historians.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Those are discipline specific. Mm-hmm. I understand that mm-hmm. there are many of those, but there mm-hmm. are also other population related honor societies, and I thought that our students should be identified.
Yeah, I remember there was my senior year history conference way out here in Los Angeles. I was in Wisconsin at the time, and another guy and I took this train riding in the coach car for about 3 days and nights. I was in pretty bad shape by the time we got here.
Yeah, that can be a tiring trip.
Oh, it sure can be. Brushing your teeth in the little closet.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us any idea of how many students you've had into your society?
Well, we're the Alpha chapter, and we probably had about 50 students in total since we were founded as members of the Honor Society here at ESU. But the Honor Society has now become a national organization, and we have 23 chapters in 12 different states around the country at this point in time. So the number in total around the country would be much larger.
Well, that's impressive. I mean, we are in 2008, but just starting the academic year, so you've really only had about 3 years.
Actually, we became national in 2006 at through AHEAD, the Association of Higher Ed and Disability, at their conference in San Diego that year. So it's only been a little over 2 years that we've been a national organization. So we've grown pretty quickly in that length of time.
Well, I hope that our interview, when we put it on the internet, will help bring in some more colleges for you.
I do, too. I'm looking forward to more.
I'll put an announcement out on some lists about the interview and hope we can get you some business.
That would be great.
So you don't mind being busy?
Oh, no. No, I call it my unpaid night job. I go home in the evening and check all my emails and start sending out applications and answering questions and things like that. So, no, I'm happy to do it. It's a labor of love. I'm real thrilled about the responses we've received from students regarding this Honor Society, as well as faculty and administration who are having their eyes opened as to the successful aspects of our students.
You know, it's really hard to get rid of stereotypes.
Yes, it is.
Even when you show them statistics and things, you know, they nod their heads and push that aside and go back to their stereotype all over again.
Yes. And the other aspect is we have students who are still embarrassed to talk about having a disability, and we're trying to dispel that as well. And it's been amazing, some of the students with the hidden disabilities, the learning disabilities and attention deficit and those types of things have really become strong advocates for themselves and others after they've participated in the Honor Society. So I've seen a real difference in some of their attitudes.
Well, I think that's really important. You know, I think oftentimes those of us with disabilities on a subconscious level buy into the stereotypes too, and so we try to pretend like we don't have a disability and ignore it and look the other way and, well, I don't want to exploit my disability. I think we need to get to the point where we don't feel shameful about it.
Absolutely. That's one of the purposes of the Honor Society.
To be personal, and I hadn't planned to do this, when I was losing my sight as a child, I had the feeling, well, one way or another, I'll get on with life and do things, and, you know, I'll handle it. However, what really bothered me is I remember still an unsightly blind man downtown with a tin cup and a violin who was, at least for me as a child, quite unsightly. And I thought I'd survive being blind, but that I was going to become him.
That can be a frightening experience, I'm sure, to look at someone like that and think that's how I'll be.
And I suppose at a subconscious level, I spent my life trying to make sure that didn't happen.
That didn't happen. Well, you succeeded.
Well, sometimes images like that bury you, and that's what you become, and other times you fight hard. But your Honor Society, you know, is really going to help students break that. And one of the things I find in working with students with disabilities is oftentimes they aren't very good self-advocates.
No, they're not.
And by the time you hit college, you can't count on mom or dad or some teacher advocating for you in college and certainly out in the workplace. You've got to become a self-advocate. So I see this as one of the major impacts of what you're doing.
And we've set up a mentoring program that helps with exactly that type of transition. We have students who are upper-class students and members of the Honor Society serve as mentors for our incoming freshmen who have disabilities. So those new students who are trying to make that transition and learning to advocate for themselves and learning how to speak to professors about accommodations and so on immediately are connected with an upper-class student who's done that and has been successful. And that's made a really good match for us for the students. Both the mentors and the mentees have really benefited from that.
I like that. I think having students teach students is really effective.
Yes, it is. I always laugh at I can say something and, you know, their eyes are glassed over, and as soon as one of the mentors says something, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, really? You mm-hmm. know, it's like, mm-hmm. didn't I just mm-hmm. say that? But I'm always delighted to see, it, you know, it's a wonderful growing experience for the mentors, too. I can remember them being such shy freshmen themselves, and now they're very active and, you know, they're so articulate when they speak and just able to really be wonderful role models for the new students.
Well, I'm impressed. Proud of you for getting the idea, and
you
may not have been the first one to get the idea, but oftentimes we have good ideas and don't do anything with them. So I want to thank you for students at other colleges that you don't know, and for those coming down the road for having done this exciting and I think important activity.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the brief interview, and we'll keep in touch, and if there's any way we can help bring more attention to your organization, just let us know.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.